For many years now, the school newspaper, The Flash, has run a feature, I think it goes by the name Senior Spotlights, or something like that, in which interview articles are done asking the graduating members of the class about all kinds of stuff. Likes and dislikes, fond memories, and sometimes there's a question that goes like this. What are they going to miss at Emmanuel after graduation? About 5 years ago, here's what a senior had to say to that question. Another thing I'm going to miss is all of the chapels. When I came here as a freshman, I didn't really care for them at all. But now that I realize that I won't have them anymore, I know I won't miss them. I wonder if her attitude as a freshman affected her behavior when she was here. Now let's focus on a positive in what I just read. A change in attitude for the better over the course of 3 or 4 years. I believe it's a fulfillment of what God has said in a text for us today. We'll read as our devotional basis, James 1, verses 18 through 21. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Back to that senior. How could a former student feel quite strongly about chapel? I don't think it's the comfortable seats you have over there in the bleachers. Nor was it the great ambiance of this gym chapel setting. No, it must have been the Word of God brought to us. James calls it the Word of Truth that brought us forth. By that he means the gospel of Christ giving birth, as it were, to our faith, causing us to be spiritually alive to God. And then in verse 21, he adds this description. It's the implanted word able to save your souls. God's word makes such an impact on believers because it is God himself speaking that truth, and the power of the Spirit producing our faith. The Lord planting in our hearts the word, like a farmer planting seed in the ground. Now please understand something about what we do here at chapel. It is going to be a one-way street. The chapel speaker, whoever that is, preaching to the audience. We will not have a dialogue. There won't be a question-answer session right now. Essentially, you should think of it as God talking through the messenger, and the rest of us are listening. At the same time, it's God giving his blessings through the messenger for the rest of us to receive. So it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, that James would tell us, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Obviously, that means that when the chapel speaker is talking, you don't. But there's more to it than that. Not only are you to be engaged with your ears, but also your hearts and minds. striving to focus on, absorb, understand what the message is. And that takes effort. Of course, the goal here is that the Word of God gets through, it sticks in your hearts, it grows your faith in Christ, and guides your life as children of the Heavenly Father whose walk is heavenward. So, can we all be this? Can you be the model chapel worshiper? The kind of listener who wants to be here every time. The kind of listener who's going to miss it when access to it is gone in your life. I have to tell you that inside each one of us there lives a chapel despiser. The sinful nature wants nothing to do with what God has to say, no matter what the venue is. Church, religion class, Bible study, the flesh hates all of it. And we still have that flesh. Now I want you to think about this on a personal level. If you would rather be someplace else than here, that's your sinful nature acting up, and it's a problem. If you are fixating on this or that rather than listening to the Word of God, that's your flesh getting in the way. That's why the Apostle James has to say to people who believe, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness, the implanted Word. Making chapel or church a beneficial experience time and again will require you saying no to what your flesh wants and refocusing on what God wants. I don't expect that improvement would happen overnight. There will be setbacks, times when you need to repent of your failure to listen, as will I. It's definitely a work in progress, but here's the good news. God does the hard part of improving us, changing hearts and attitudes for the better. Let's sum this up by taking a look at the benefits to be gained from the word that is preached, regardless of venue, regardless of messenger. In that word, God is coming to you and He's saying, and I'll beg your pardon because I'm going to use the first person. God is saying, I love you unconditionally. I care about you so much that I sent Jesus to take your place, to take the punishment of all your sins, and make the forgiveness of all your sins a sure thing. I care about you all so much that I put faith in your heart at your baptism and keep that faith alive to this very day. God is also saying that His love for you does not change, even though you may be going through problems of one kind or another. He is still with you through all of them. He will help you endure them all. If your life in this world is filled or seems filled with disappointment and frustration, He wants you to have the vision of something better, a bright future that Jesus won for you, a great treasure of eternal life that He promises to you because of His Son. That treasure, my fellow worshipers, is there for us always in His Word. And so we pray. Lord, open our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to receive. Sanctify us by Your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Let us close our worship this morning singing stanzas 3 and 4 of hymn 296. Hymn 296, stanzas 3 and 4.